Psalm 119. The title of the message, Heart Prayer is the Heart of Prayer. With my whole heart. He said, I pray with my whole heart. My very being is engaged in this prayer. In these verses, we see the heart of true worship. It is not possible to worship God without the heart. The heart is the seat of affection. It's the seat of understanding. And without the heart, there's no worship. Solomon said to his son, Son, give me thine heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Take a concordance and look at the heart. The Word of God has a lot to say about the heart. Because out of the heart flows true worship, true prayer, true faith, all flowing from the heart. A new heart, not just any heart, it's not the old heart. A new heart given of God in regeneration, the new birth. That's what regeneration is. It's the new birth. It's to be born of God. God said in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know me. Do you have a heart to know God? Do you really want to know God? Do you really have a desire, I mean a real desire, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent? That's of God. God said, I'll give them a heart to know me. It is this heart with which we cry unto God in faith, and in prayer, we go before the throne of grace with our hearts. Our bodies are here. My body's here. But my heart can go before God. It can go before the throne of grace and lay before him all my cares. What a privilege we have. What a privilege. And this verse, now listen, this verse first applies to our Lord, who only cried and was only the only one able to cry with his whole heart. We as believers do cry with our heart, and at times our whole heart as much as is possible. But we know this, we don't do anything perfectly. We don't do anything perfectly. We don't love God perfectly. We do not worship God perfectly. We do not believe God perfectly. But bless God, there is one that did. The Lord Jesus Christ. His whole heart, while he walked on this earth as a man, as our substitute, his whole heart was absolutely 1,000% engaged in worship, in keeping the word of God, the statutes, the judgment. And that's our righteousness. That is our righteousness. Now he says here in verse 145, I cried. Now brethren, if you cry, I mean, if you really cry unto God, it's serious business, isn't it? I fear too often our prayers are not cries. There's too much formality in it. But he says here, I cried with my whole heart. Or he says here, I cried with heart, with whole heart. I cried with whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Now we know, first of all, this fits our greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord was a praying man, still is. As our high priest, he still is. But he poured out his heart continually to his Father. He did so for himself, for protection. He depended upon his Father to keep him. But he did so for us also. He prayed for us intensely. Intentionally, he prayed for us. Read, go over and read John 17. That high priestly prayer. He's praying for us. I cannot read that prayer without thinking and listening. Listening. Tuning in. The Lord's praying for me. I am included in this prayer. I pray not for them only, but I pray for them who shall believe through their word. He prayed for us. And he still does. He still intercedes for us. I don't know how all that takes place right now, but he intercedes for us. Right there before the throne of grace. Our Lord poured out his heart, and he prayed often. How often do I really pray? Aren't you glad we have one that prays often? We have one who prays continually. Continuously, he prays for us, intercedes for us. Our Lord lived in a perfect attitude of prayer. And our Lord cried unto God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. This speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5. Look in verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, whose flesh? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. Now listen. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. That's our Lord. He prayed violently, if I can use it that way. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Our Lord prayed violently. And it says here, he prayed with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Why, didn't he say, for this hour I came? I came into the world to suffer and die. Didn't he say that? Well, what does it mean that he was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared he was heard, God heard him, and that he feared God? First of all, he prayed that he would be delivered from those Pharisees and Satan who constantly wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him before his time. He said, mine hour is not yet come. And if his heavenly Father had not protected him, because he's a tender plant, remember over in Isaiah 53, he's a root out of ground like a tender plant. You know what you can do with a tender plant? You step on it, you break it. Our Lord was human. He was a real man. You know, sometimes I think, in my way of thinking, I see him as God Almighty. But I can't forget this. He's a real, very real man who can die and can suffer. He's thirsty. He's hungry. He weeps. He wept. You know, there Martha and Mary says Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, how mysterious is this man. How mysterious. But it says here that he had strong crying and tears, and unto him it's able to save him from death. He depended on God, listen, not only to save him from those Pharisees and Satan who would have killed him before his time, but he also depended on him to raise him from the dead. He was going to die. But he depended on his Father. He depended on God Almighty to raise his body from the grave. Come out of that grave. He depended on him. And then he cried for his elect. those strong tears and crying, don't think that was just for him. That's for me and you. You see, he took prayer serious. He took calling on his Father, God, serious. He took going before Almighty God serious. He took asking God for something serious. It's serious business. It's very serious business when we call on God and use his Son's name. I can't help but think, and this is as I've gotten older and learned a little more, is what I'm asking for worthy of the name I'm going to attach to it? Is it? We don't just throw that. We're not name dropping. And we're not going to before the throne of grace or before the throne of God's grace and name dropping. When we pray, just like I prayed here, was that prayer worthy of the name of Christ? Was it worthy of using his name? Would God hear that prayer for his Son? You see how serious he took it? He took praying a very serious matter. He cried for his elect. He cried for their forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Didn't he say that from the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I don't know who he said that for at that particular time, if it was somebody standing there or if it was all of his elect. I tell you this, whoever he's speaking of, they're forgiven. They were forgiven. Because he don't ask the Father to forgive anybody and they're not forgiven. He cried for their forgiveness. He cried for their pardon. He cried for their acceptance. He cried for their protection. He said, look over in John 17. In John 17, look in verse, there's a lot of these verses I could camp right here, but in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, I come to thee. Boy, that's serious business, isn't it? Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as would keep them. He prayed for their protection. He prays for our protection. Keep them. Keep them. Look in verse 24. He prays for our future. He prays for our future. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's our future. He prays for that. You think he's going to get that? Everything he prays for, he gets. Because he never prays outside of the will of God, ever. So he prays for his elect. He prays for their forgiveness, their pardon, their acceptance, their protection, and their future. He prays for them. He intercedes for them. No parent ever prayed for their children like Christ prays for his. And you parents, you know how you pray for your children. You know, Paul said that if it would save Israel, I could wish myself a curse from Christ. Our Lord was cut off for our salvation. For our salvation, he was cursed. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He actually experienced what Paul prayed, in that he died under the curse of the law, separated from God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm looking at the reason God forsook his Son, that he might save you. That he might save you. And our Lord prayed. He prayed for the children of God, his brothers and sisters. Wouldn't you like to have a brother praise you like that? You do. In Christ, you do. You have a brother prays for you like that. Prayer and God's word was our Lord's greatest weapon. Our weapons are not carnal. Not there. Our weapons of pulling down strongholds are not carnal, they're spiritual. And our Lord's greatest weapon is two things: prayer. Prayer. I was trying to think of the preacher's name who prayed that God would give him Scotland. You remember that? John Knox? Yeah. That's the difference between 22 years or 40s and 60s. I can't remember anymore. But John Knox prayed that the Lord, I thought, here's an example. For us. Don't be afraid to pray large. John Knox prayed earnestly that God would give him Scotland. That God would give him Scotland. Jesus Christ prayed that God would give him the heathen. God said, ask me the heathen for thine inheritance. You bunch of heathens have been given to me. You have. There's a multitude of heathens from the Gentile race that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked for them. He asked for them. He prays for them. Prays for them. Now we must learn to use the same weapons that he used. God's word. Remember the temptation in the wilderness when Satan came at him? He said three times, I believe it was, it is written. It is written. Prayer and God's word. That's all we need to stand on. We take God at his word, and by his spirit, we can pray and go before him and cast all our care before him and trust him. Trust him to take care of our need, whatever it is. And here's the prayer. Hear me, O Lord. Our Lord prayed to be heard. We pray to be heard of God, not men. Our Lord never prayed to impress men, nor do we pray to impress men. Pharisees did. The Lord told them that. He said, you pray, you have these long prayers. You know, have you ever heard someone do that? There's one particular person I know. When this person prays, it's long as a sermon. I'm trying to be careful here, but we don't make long prayers to be heard. We prayed to be heard of God, for God to hear us. And here's what he hears more than anything: your heart. The groanings of your heart. That's what he hears. He sees beyond words. You heard me pray here a little bit ago. You heard words, and words have meaning. But they can have the meanings and no heart in it at all. We never pray to impress men, but we pray to be heard of God. And the reason for this prayer is this: I will keep thy statutes. Lord, he said, hear me. Hear me. He doesn't pray for a bigger house. He doesn't pray for health. He doesn't pray. He doesn't even pray right here in his first opening statement here to get out of trouble, whatever it is. I cried unto thee. He says this: I want to keep your word. Save me that I might keep your word. Again, our Lord is the only one who was able to do this perfectly. He said, hear me, I will keep thy statutes. But this is the desire of every one of God's children. We desire to know God's word and to walk in the light of it. Hear me. Hear my prayer for this reason. Not a material benefit, not a monetary benefit, but a spiritual benefit. That I might keep your word. Lord, hear me. And here's another request. You'll notice he says this: I cried. And then in another verse, he says he cried. It was interesting. Someone pointed this out. I didn't write it down, but someone pointed this out. Christ prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went three times and said the same words. Paul prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed, and God didn't remove it. Was it Elijah that laid on that young man that died, young boy died, and he prayed three times that his life might come back into him? What's the significance of that? Well, I really don't know, but I do know this. You pray about something three times, you're serious. You're serious. If you really are serious about it, about something, you're going to pray about it again and again and again. You're going to be like that woman with that unjust judge. You're going to keep on knocking. You're going to keep knocking until God answers that prayer one way or another. You're going to keep going. And if you do, it'll be God who keeps you going. Because he's going to give you the answer. That's why he keeps you going. I cried unto thee, save me. You see, he said, hear me, that I might keep thy statutes. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. You see, it all has to do with God's word. Anything has to do with God's word has to do with God. It has to do with God. It's a cry. Listen, first of all, it's a cry for salvation. Now, how can this fit our Lord? How can this fit our Lord? Well, I've already touched on it briefly, but as a man, he depended on God to save him from the forces of darkness and the attacks of men. He depended on God. He completely depended on God to save him. When he was in that storm on that boat, and that was, you know, the disciples were losing their mind, he was back there asleep. He was dependent on God to keep him. He was dependent on him to keep him. That's what perfect faith does. Perfect faith allows you to sleep, to rest in the storm. It's his storm. That's what perfect faith does. The Pharisees would have killed him long before his hour had come, if they could have. They would have if they could have. But this applies to the believers, to all believers. We need the Lord to save us, don't we? We need the Lord to save us from our sins, from the curse of the law, from the power of darkness. We need the Lord to save us that we might serve him in spirit and in truth. We need the Lord to save us that we might walk in the light of his word and keep his testimonies. He's got to save us if we are going to do it. He's got to do that. And you'll notice here, his cry is to be saved, that he shall be able to keep the testimony. Not to keep from going to hell. Not to keep from going to a place called hell. But that he might walk and please God. Enoch walked with God. And if you and I walk with God, it's going to be by faith, and it's going to be through his word. It's not going to be apart from his word. And then he says here in verse 147, early prayer is the best time for prayer. I've learned it's the best time for study. To come over here first thing in the morning, early in the morning, when that sun is coming up right over there, the best time to be over here is in early in the morning. Before anybody else gets my mind, or anybody else grabs a hold of me, it's best to be over here early in the morning. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried again. Cried. Prayer is a serious business with him. And I hoped in thy word. Our Lord was up before dawn just to pray. Just to pray. That's an understatement to say just to pray. He was up before dawn to go before God on our behalf. And then on behalf of that day, when he's gonna live out this day. He's gonna face Satan and men and darkness. And then, but what does he do? He faces God first. He calls upon God first. This is the best way to start a day, is with God's word and prayer. The best way to start a day. And our Lord did so. And he did so hoping in the word of God, the promises of that God gave in his word. Listen, prayer without hope is useless. Why pray? Why pray? If you have no hope for what you're praying for, if you have no foundation for what you're praying for, why are you praying? He went before God, and we go before God, and there's no better way to go before God than with his word. And hoping in his word, expecting God to fulfill his promise. Take the promises of God to the throne of grace. Spurgeon called him, he says, like taking checks to the bank. Take these promises to his, to the throne of grace. No, nothing better than taking God's own word to him. And notice here what effect the heart soon has on the eyes. He said, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate on in thy word. I don't go to sleep at night. He said, I'll stay up. The night watch here is a military term. These are the guards who watch the night. You know, they just change guards through the night. 3 or 4 times, I think it was. And he says here, my eyes prevent the night watches. He rose up early just to pray, and he stayed up late. He stayed up at night to meditate on God's word. Here is a wise practice. Here is a wise practice for every one of us. Setting aside a time to get alone and read the word of God and then meditate on it. Don't see how much you can read. I have learned this. If I read a lot, I can't remember much. I can't. I read too much. By the time I get done reading, and I've been guilty of this, I've sat down sometime for 2 or 3 hours and just read. That's too much. Read a little, think a lot. Read a little, think a lot. It's better than reading a lot and thinking very little. Think it over and over. Read a little and think it over and over. You know, I think we've lost this in our day. We don't know how to think. We stay too busy to think. We're running at such a breakneck speed, we don't have time to think. And that is a real tool of Satan, to keep you so busy, you don't have time to think. You don't have time to get up and read. You got to get up and put your clothes on, hurry up and get out the door and go to work. You know, this industrial age is, I'm not going to say it's a real blessing, because it has taken us away from our time to be able to stop and meditate and think. There's, you know, here's what, let me give you what meditate means. It means to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time in silence on a subject. Now, you know whether or not you've ever really sat down and think deeply on something. The synonyms of meditate is this: ponder. Ponder it over. That's why I said don't read a lot, read a little bit so you can ponder over it. It means to reflect. Go home and reflect on what you heard here tonight and what was read to you out of God's word. It means, and I like this one, deliberate thinking. Isn't that good? Deliberate thinking. It means to contemplate. Contemplate on what you've heard. It means to muse. to muse it. That's an old word. Concentrate. And I like this one. It means to be lost in thought. You ever been lost in thought? We were watching something the other night, and I was thinking of the message. And something happened, and Vicki asked me about it, said something about it, and I was lost in thought. I was sitting there looking at the television, but I couldn't tell you what happened. Couldn't tell you what happened at all. I was lost in thought. And that's what he's saying. Meditate upon the Word of God deliberately. Reflect upon it. Contemplate it. Muse it. Concentrate. And get lost in thought over it. He did. God did. Our Lord did. And note the advancement of his prayer here. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Have you noticed here how his prayer advances? He started out, hear me. Then he said, save me. And now he says, quicken me. Revive me. We need all three of these to happen for us to worship. We need this. Revive me. We need spiritual reviving often. We need it. Actually, we need it every day, don't we? We need spiritual reviving every day. We need the Lord to impress upon us his great mercy. His great mercy. And David asked God here to quicken him according. First, to hear his voice according to his loving kindness. In other words, hear me in grace. But I look this way. Let me tell you something about studying. And you all know. You know this, but this word according here is an adverb. And it means this, as stated by or in. According to your loving kindness, as stated in your word. He's not asking God to do something outside of his word. And then he says here, according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according, again, as stated in your word, to thy judgments. Answer me in a way that's consistent with yourself. Answer me in wisdom. As I pray, don't you want God to answer you in wisdom? Now you tell me who's wiser to answer your prayers. You are God. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Or take your burden to the Lord and tell him how to do it, how to fix it. Answer me in a way that's consistent with your judgment, not mine. Now, you know and I know, most of the time or oftentimes, I'll say oftentimes we pray, we want God to do it the way we want him to do it. And most of the time, he does it the opposite of how we think he ought to do it. That's why we get disappointed, because our will comes in conflict with his. But here, listen, here, according to your loving kindness, according to your judgment, as stated in your word, here's the spirit of submission. One thing about going to God in prayer, going to the throne of grace, we better start out with submission. Start out already submitted. Thy will be done. And you lay your case before God. But with a spirit of submission, we do not instruct God on how to answer our prayers. Our Lord taught us, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. What do I know? What do I know? It's 15, it's 16 after 8. At 17 after 8, do you know what's going to happen? You and I don't have a clue what's going to happen, but he does. He determined the end from the beginning. Our God does. And here's another reason to pray. Enemies all around. Ooh, we have enemies. Like we got so many unseen enemies. Dark spirit of darkness demons? We're just not in this world by ourselves. It's a spiritual warfare, spiritual darkness in this world. Verse 150, they draw nigh that follow hot on the heels of mischief. They're after mischief. They follow after mischief. You know, the scripture says to the wicked, I'm going to paraphrase you, to the wicked, mischief is as sport. Why do you think the thief keeps stealing? It's a sport to him. He gets away with it. He gets a high on it. He gets a, I got them. And he keeps on going. I was watching. I watched a lot of TV. YouTube. I do watch a lot of YouTube. But I was watching this. We was watching this thing the other night. These train robbers. They made, it was, for the money they had stolen, they had stolen well over $1 million. This is back in the 1800s. They stolen over, they couldn't stop. I told Vic, I said, if they stopped, they could live like kings, but they couldn't do it. And they got caught. They got caught, couldn't do it. You know why? Because mischief is as sport to them. It's the same thing as a basketball player playing basketball and loving it. It's sport. Now, our Lord had and still had his enemies. He said they follow hard after mischief. They tried to kill him on every turn. They tried to trip him up, trap him, everything they could think of. We still have the same enemies he has. They're our enemies, every one of them. The world doesn't love you. It'll chew you up and spit you out. That's one thing I'd like for young people to learn. The world will chew you up and spit you out when it's done with you. It will. The best way to handle our enemies? We sing a song. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Well, we can pray. We can sing it this way. Take your enemies to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. David's not trying to, he's calling on God to take care of his enemies. Our Lord did that. We are to do that. Take your enemies to the Lord and leave them there. And he says here in 151, I'm going to close. Here's where he takes great comfort. He takes great comfort. Thou art near, O Lord, O Jehovah, and all thy commandments are truth. The enemies may be following after mischief. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. And I tell you what, the most dangerous people in the world are those who are far from the word of God. They are the most dangerous. But God's, our Lord is near. We don't pray to a God who's far off. God is ever present with his people. He's ever present. Too often we think of God as being far, far away, don't we? We think he's far, far away. He's here. He's here. He's ever present. And all his commandments are truth. They can be completely relied on. It's good news to sinners who need mercy. To sinners who need help. Last of all, we see here a saving knowledge of God's word, the encouragement that it gives. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. There's one scripture that says, what says here in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm going to read you what John Gill, I thought he had a good statement on this verse, and I'm going to close. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old, or from thy testimonies. Read it like this. From thy testimonies, I have known of old. By carefully reading the scriptures which testify of God, his mind and will, and frequently meditating on them, he had learned a long time ago, even from his youth, what follows, that thou hast founded them forever, that the things contained in them are sure and certain, established and eternal truth, the moral law and the precepts of it are eternal, and a perpetual obligation, not one jot or tittle of them shall ever fail. The gospel and the truth of it are everlasting and shall ever remain, in spite of all the opposition, craft and cunning, fury and force of men to undermine and root them out. He says here, concerning thy testimonies, I've known of old, thou hast founded them forever. They are sure and steadfast. God's word, what he's given us in his word, is sure and steadfast. You count on it. Whatever God said is going to happen. And he said it a long time ago. All right.